Welcome back to the Press Box and our Derby 148th edition. Preview show with my great guest, always from sunny Florida, Mr. Rob Murphy. Rob, welcome back to the show, my good friend.
Great to be back, Gene. It's another great Derby week and a lot of festivities are planned.
You know, we were talking a little bit offline. The 148th Derby is kind of a rebirth, a renewal, if you want, in a way. We're kind of out, if not out, at least in the back of mind, the COVID issues, and that we really postponed the Derby 1 year to September and give Churchill a lot of credit for, you know, adjusting on the fly that can have that Derby in September. But, you know, it's nothing like having it with fans on the first Saturday in May. And I think this weekend could be one of the largest attended Oaks and Derby festivities in maybe history. And if not, in quite some time.
Yeah, it's great to get back to the good old days of packed house, packed infield, and everybody celebrating all things Kentucky. And with having the Derby being the leadoff batter in this year's Triple Crown series, it feels like it's meant to be. And with, you know, the way Major League Baseball dealt with empty stadiums by piping in fake sounds and stuff, you know, horse racing needs that roar of all those people to make it the full authentic version, and we're happy to get back to that.
You know, I mean, you know, the Derby is our industry, our sport's most sought after. It's the most watched event in our game. It is really kind of the linchpin of what we are. You know, we've had a few struggles along the way the last 4 or 5 years, you know, with the disqualification on the track of Mr. Service's horse, Maximum Security, with the incident that occurred at the top of the stretch that put Country House up to win. And then the COVID issues that moved the race to September. And then last year, of course, the debacle that the subsequent a positive test and the year-long ordeal we've had to deal with that. It's great to be back on location with fans. Hopefully it'll be a clean race both before and after. And I think the message has been sent that the Kentucky Derby is going to be held and held to its accountability at the highest level, both on the track and after the race is concluded.
You know, just recently you we're a member of the Louisville Forum, and, you know, talking about the integrity and authenticity and all the great things about Kentucky Derby. And it should be greater than ever because the collective we in horse racing, are learning through things, and it's going to be done right.
And with that, let's move on to the real essence of the race, the 148th version of the Kentucky Derby, and a mile and a quarter over the dirt track. We all know what happens at that break, 20 horses breaking from the starting gate and that rush to the first turn. So much can happen. So much gets kind of sought out and weeded out, and a lot of horses kind of make their own way in that first quarter, and some horses get eliminated in that first quarter. What do you look for in handicapping the race, in particular with the post positions, Rob?
You know, I think technology has brought so much information to the forefront where not that long ago, people were like, well, I like the horses inside. The inside's the shortest way around. And, well, I want to be a clean trip and go from the outside. And now we've got all this data that's been compiled through these 147 previous runnings. And I think the thing that's going to change here is considering the new starting gate.
Right.
And it's one unit that actually gives all 20 horses a straight run to that first turn, where the 14 plus 6 stall auxiliary gate really push the two or three inside horses a little bit on the turn. And it's been 36 years since a horse has won from the number one post position, being the Great Ferdinand. And I think that those inside posts are going to start a little trend of having a better, cleaner run, and it's got to help them in the long run with results.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. With the starting gate being a little more condensed, it saves some space. They get it off of that rail. And now it's hard to compare the data between what was and what now is. And being able to give those inside horses a little more of a straight shot, if they can break their running and kind of get their own spot, they're not necessarily compromised by that first, you know, 200 or 300 yards like they may have been in the past.
Yeah, and it's going to take a while for the trend to really develop, and so that's going to take time. But I know, you know, two of the horses that have caught my eye, and certainly plenty of other people's, are in those inside horse inside posts, and Mo Donegal and Epicenter.
Right. You know, I think one thing before we leave the starting gate issue, a lot of credit to Churchill for, you know, seeking out and getting with the technology and the makers of the new starting gate and getting that done and adding that element to the Derby. But one new thing about this year's Derby, there were some concerns by the starting gate crew that the shelf inside the gate wasn't really wide enough to put their foot in there firmly, and they have gone back and remodeled that so that the starting gate assistants have a little more room on which they can put their feet and be a little safer inside the starting gate. As you well know, a lot of times the starting gate is the one of the more difficult and dangerous aspects of the race itself.
Well, keeping the safety of the humans and the animals at the forefront is important, and this is just one of those small things that isn't visible to most, but it is as important as any other.
You know, I think the assistant starter is really an undervalued and underestimated. The importance of getting an expert in there to get the horse settled, comfortable, and head in the right direction and get them away there quickly and safely, as you well stated. Let's talk about the horses. You know, a lot has been said, as you mentioned, about Epicenter drawing number three and Mo Donegal, the winner of the Wood Memorial, drawing the inside the rail position. You know, I think it's pretty well been documented that I think Epicenter comes into the race. I sent him not this time as, at least in my view, the favorite to win the race. I think, you know, he has done everything asked of him. If you look at his last five races, he's won four of them. He lost by a head in the LeCompte, right on the wire. I firmly believe he never saw the horse on the outside. Call Me Midnight was his first big race of the year, and I really thought, you know, he's gone from that speed oriented race style in a lot of his early races. But I think the Louisiana Derby showed a different element. Joel Rosario was able to kind of grab up and a hold of him and said, okay, let's learn a little here in the Louisiana Derby, and took him back off that lead and let the runners go out there. And then when it came time for real running, the serious running, he just kind of said, okay, now it's time to go. And I thought that race, the Louisiana Derby, showed a true maturation of this horse.
I fully agree. And the other dimension of being able to rate is so important. Everybody in the business talks about it, especially as distances increase, like the 10 furlongs on Saturday. This race here, you know, the Louisiana Derby from last year, was a very pivotal race as far as a prep for horses and how they finish in the Kentucky Derby. And I can't see it playing much differently. I mean, this horse beat a good group of horses, beat other horses that are showing up again today. And the tactical change that Rosario made should benefit him. And, you know, the old expression, sitting in the catbird seat, turning for home. I mean, Epicenter's got everything waiting for him. I think the early part of the race probably dictates more of his finish than anything else.
You know, I think that experience of the rider really comes into play in the Kentucky Derby in particular. And you know, this horse has enough early speed to kind of get away from there, find his kind of a good garden spot trip into that first turn. But, you know, at the same time, you can't let the horse go in 22 or 20, you know, and cook up that first quarter too fast. And, you know, Joel Rosario has really stamped himself as one of the top, if not the top rider in the world today. And he certainly looks like he fits his horse too, Ross.
Yeah, he's best known as a finishing rider. I mean, he can win from any spot, but it's a great combination. And, you know, it's something, you know, Steve Asmussen is now the leader in the number of Derby entrants without a victory now, with, I believe, 23 or somewhere in there. And but you know, Steve Asmussen has not been on a hot streak as of late, and that could throw some concern out there for plenty of bettors.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Steve Asmussen's won more races at Churchill Downs than any trainer in history. Yet, he has not won a Kentucky Derby. He trains this horse for Winchell Thoroughbreds. Ron Winchell, we know a lot about. The family had Tappet, and he had Gunrunner, and there are, I think, three sons of Gunrunner in this race. This is not one of them, but Winchell owned and is now part owner of the Stallion Gunrunner, who's off to such a great start. Kind of ironic that he might win the Kentucky Derby with a horse that will beat some of the Gunrunners in here. But, you know, he's the Winchell family, dating back to his father, had some great horses in the Derby. They've not won the Derby. I think it just goes to show how difficult it is to win this race.
Oh, no question. I mean, think how long it took Claiborne Farm to win the Derby, and that's
right.
It is one thing. I mean, you know, now the Godolphin operation, right? I mean, they probably had their best chance so far last year with Essential Quality, and you know, this ebbs and flows. And right now, really, with Winchell Thoroughbreds having such a good prospect in Epicenter, that's really covering their bets for the other gun runners that they have. They win if any of those horses gets
right.
The roses on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, and this is my horse. I think he's the key horse. I'm not necessarily so that he has to win or he must win or there's no other horse in here that can beat him. But I think it went from a handicapping perspective, I center around this horse. I just think he's got the tactical speed. He's got the ability to close. He's got a great rider. I think it's time maybe the Winchells and the Asmussens crossover into the promised land. And, you know, they put in their time, they put in their dues, and this horse looks the part. I've been out 3 or 4 days this week, and the horse, I think, just coming into the race, he looks spectacular. But that doesn't mean he has to win. And there's a horse to the inside on the rail, Mo Donegal. When I started the rankings back early this year, back in, I think, even January, Mo Donegal was my number one pick in my number one ranked first rankings. But he's not been without his trials and tribulations along this path as well.
You know, he's got plenty of, in my handicapping, she's got a circle over on the right-hand side about a step slow at the start, off a step slow, bumped it to break, slow break. You know, that you know, has led to him being 2 for 4 in his first four races. And last time, you know, he had the rail and the wood and was able to sit a pretty good trip, although only against 7 other opponents as opposed to 19 opponents on Saturday. But again, here's a horse that has got the best of connections and a new investor as of recent date with Mike Rapoli, who raced Unbridled, trained by Todd Fletcher, having taken a financial interest in Mo Donegal. So it's a lot of stars are trying to line up on this horse also.
You know, this horse has got obviously a world of talent. I think, you know, his race style, meaning that he's going to come from a little bit farther off of it. Doesn't necessarily mean he has to come from 19 or 20, but he looks probably that he may be in that 9 or 10, a path into that first down the backside. He's going to have to make a little bit bolder of a move, and going to have maybe a little more racing luck. This horse has got a world of talent. Can he make up the ground it's going to require in the last quarter of a mile?
The big question, right? He's a horse that certainly has the pedigree, as we've talked through this spring about the pedigree on plenty of these Derby prospects. And, he's by Uncle Mo, one of the top stallions in the business, out of a Pulpit mare. And that brings me to a lot of other connections with the APND Seattle Slough Sire Line. There are 7 horses in this race that have close relations with APND and in turn Seattle Slough. So Mo Donegal being one of them, and it's got to be one of those things that helps those top horses get to the wire first in a race like this.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting to point out that the rider on Mo Donegal in the Wood Memorial was none other than Joel Rosario. And I think, earlier this week, he got on a couple of other of the Derby contenders in their final works and preps. What kind of education does that give Rosario, who's going to be sticking with Epicenter, to having been up on Mo Donegal and on some of the others in the morning?
Well, it's going to give him some insight, but he can only really only ride one.
Right.
And, of course, that's Epicenter. But I would think that his mount on Mo Donegal was a one and done because of where Errat Ortiz was on April 9th. But it's, Ortiz, Rosario, these are the best riders in the world. And they still have to ride their horse first. And, pretty rare when you get a guy that can ride more than one. The guy I think of there is Angel Cordero, but these riders, they have such a good feel. There's a reason they're that good. When somebody's that good at any skill, they're a step above.
Absolutely. Let's not dodge the elephant in the room rather than the 17 hand horse. Neither one of these are 17 hands, but Messier coming in and Tabia. I'm hoping that I pronounced that somewhere.
Taiba, that's right.
Taiba,
yeah.
There we go. I hope, I won't go there.
Taiba, I know.
But the two horses that have been recently converted from the barn of Bob Baffert over to Tim Yachtin. Tim Yachtin, a former Baffert assistant, a former assistant for Charlie Whittingham. So he's obviously had a lot of education in his journey to be a trainer as well. Has two in here, Messier drawing the 6-hole, who ran second in the Santa Anita Derby to his stablemate. Talk a little bit, Rob, about your thoughts regarding either one or both of these horses.
Well, you look at the PPs here, and you got John Velasquez in the irons. He's been riding Messier. This is the winning combination from last year's Derby, with the same outfit, same rider combination. Horses move forward from his 2-year-old form. He's worked well since the Santa Anita Derby. It's always it's just one of those, how do you throw him out? Situations, and
right.
And John Velasquez, he can ride horses and get them to be a little better than they look on paper, as we stated with last year's victory. And it's hard to throw these horses out. I think distance is going to come up against this horse, and it's I thought the same thing last year with Velasquez's mount.
Yeah, this horse is shown some really speed oriented. He went right up against Forever Forbidden Kingdom in the Santa Anita Derby. Forbidden Kingdom obviously had some breathing issues, or it's been documented that he might have had some breathing issues that kind of caused his bailout in the San Diego Derby. But, you know, if you look back, he beat Forbidden Kingdom in the Bob Hope last year as a two-year-old. But he loses then to Slow Down Andy in the Los Al Futurity when stretching out for the first time. He comes back, he beats a field by 15 lengths in the Grade 3 Robert B. Lewis Stakes. And then, you know, he tires again in the, when he stretches to the Malamon 8th. Maybe the speed duel with Forbidden Kingdom took a little more out of him than and set it up for his stablemate. You know, the horse has some tactical speed. He probably is going to be a forward presence with a clean break. And it'll be interesting to see if the other horses who can stalk can get the first jump on him.
Yeah, it's you know, going to be up to these riders here to who presses the accelerator a little bit earlier. And there are plenty of horses that have shown speed, so it should be competitive up front. And, you know, it's different, the speed factor in some of the Kentucky Derby since the point system has changed has seemed like it's moderated itself. And the horses can be closer to the lead. That seems like that's been a trend since the point system has changed. And this horse will be in the thick of it for quite a while.
Yeah, let's talk about his stablemate. How many times, and a son of Gunrunner, by the way, but how many times has a horse won the Kentucky Derby with only two previous starts?
You know, we've got all these curses going on and you know, the trend lines and everything else. And, you know, there's always a first time for everything. And, you know, this horse is bucking the odds of any success here. But when you look at his running lines, he went from 6 furlongs to 9 without a hitch. Beat a pretty good horse in Messier himself, and they were 10 lengths clear of Happy Jack back in third position. So if you own this horse, you are thinking the sky's the limit. He's got a great pedigree, and he's obviously shown a lot of promise for his trainer to say, all right, let's go from a maiden special to a Grade 1. I mean, even justify had an allowance race in between. So it's something that has got to be respected. And, you know, Mike Smith, I mean, how good are they? Again, when look at the riders we're talking about today. These guys are landing on pretty impressive horses.
Right. You know, this horse obviously did not start as a two-year-old. There's some cutters, I think Charge It as well as in the field, that didn't start as a two-year-old. You know, that curse of the Apollo curse was broken over after 100-some years by Justify, who many now argue shouldn't have been in the Kentucky Derby, considering his positive test after the Santa Anita Derby. But all that being said, history is what history does. But this horse, if you look at the connections, obviously has a lot of credentials that make you want to take a second look. And he's training well. I find it interesting that they breeze this horse on Wednesday of this week and that they get Rosario to do the breeze and they go 3 furlongs. And it was only the second work this horse has had since the Santa Anita Derby. That's interesting.
Oh, that's very interesting. You know, you would have to tap the phone lines to see what's being discussed on things like that. So it's surprising. It's not the ordinary path here. And does it pay off? We'll only know on Saturday evening.
That's exactly right. You know, this horse sold for $1.7 million last year at a two-year-old sale, Phase 10 Gulfstream sale. Do you remember what this horse sold for as a yearling?
I'm going to guess $140,000.
I thought maybe you knew. You know, that's a huge leap of faith. I've been going from $140,000 as a yearling to $1.7 million as a two-year-old. That is a pinhooker's dream come true.
Yes, almost. That return is almost this horse's morning line at 12-1. That's a great play by those pinhookers.
Let's move on and talk about a couple of other horses that have gotten the latest attentions. Zandon, a horse trained by Chad Brown, wins the Toyota Bluegrass, does it win really kind of impressive visually, and obviously Chad Brown, a man who knows what he's doing, has been really bullish on this horse since the Bluegrass. He'll come in, and I think, you know, it's, we talked about it in the yokes. Morning Line odds maker has made this horse the favorite at 3-1.
Yeah, my first reaction is this Derby on the turf this year? I mean, Chad Brown, we've talked about it for years now about how dominant he has been when he enters horses in these turf races. It's not even just that he wins these races. He's won the last five or five of the last seven on some of these significant turf races, especially for fillies. And then you start looking and realize, okay, so you've got, don't forget about Cloud Computing winning the Preakness, and
right.
Good Magic winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as a maiden. And you start looking at what Chad Brown does across the board here, and you have to throw this horse in there. I mean, and he's, let's say, the morning line favorite. Who knows where the odds are going to land by post time? And, you know, again, great connections. I mean, Flavian Pratt, I mean, as good a rider as there is in the country. Again, we're back to another top rider here. And Chad Brown, he's a guy that his horses don't work real fast on the work tab, but they're always fit. They're always closing. And, you know, how can you even think that this horse isn't going to be ready to run?
You know, the thing that I think is interesting is that two horses we've already discussed have already beaten this horse. Mo Donegal beating last December in the Grade 2 Remsen by a nose on the wire. But then he comes back, he hops at the start of the Grade 2 Risen Star and has to come from really way, way, way back. Gets up to be third, but not a real challenge when Epicenter wins the Grade 2 Risen Star. But he showed dramatic, you know, improvement in the Bluegrass, but still came from far back. He's going to have, I think, even more horses to go either in, around, or over, or under than maybe even Mo Donegal.
Yeah, it's, I agree with you there. I think there's going to be, you know, he's in the middle of the field, and everybody's going to be pushing, let's say, towards that middle there as they compress towards the rail. And Zandon could be a horse that is 15th when they hit the backside. And that's a lot of horses to pass. And it's, you know, what do you say here? I mean, do the odds justify what, you know, you're willing to take as far as what type of trip? And but, you know, the horse is going to be fit. I mean, Chad Brown shows that day in, day out with every horse he saddles. And, you know, just wonder, you know, how this large field is going to impact him, especially.
Well, if you just look at the fractions, he's going to go 48 at best for the half mile, and that's without many traffic issues. I just don't think that that's going to put him in an elevated spot in the body of the race after the first half mile. And that means to me that he's going to have to come from farther back, in estimation, than is the ideal spot. If you look at you know, the half mile times with some of the other horses, you know, Mo Donegal, the last two races, the half mile went in 47 and change. And I know he wasn't on the lead, but I think he's going to be in front of this horse. And that, to me, raises a flag. Not to say the horse can't win, and is, you know, and he looks amazing, but with 19 other horses to navigate around, I think it's an issue you got to think about when you're trying to handicap, particularly if he stays at this favoritism.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, and coming out of the Bluegrass, you know, the Bluegrass's history is very long and wonderful, but the Polytrack time definitely changed some of its history. And,
yes,
you know, going back, I mean, into the 70s, you know, you had Honest Pleasure, Aladar, and Spectacular Bid. I mean, you know, 3 out of 4 years, the Bluegrass winner goes and wins, sorry, not on his pleasure, but Outrun Spectacular would be going and run great in the Derby. There's a lot of horses. I mean, it took a few years to get back to Chief's Crown, was in the money in the Derby, and, Summer Squall, and, then it pops up Strike the Gold. It's Pulpit went from a great race in the Bluegrass and, fourth in the Derby, Menifee, horses like this. I mean, the Bluegrass is really sort of due to come back with a big winner. And, Good Magic ran a good second, and Essential Quality ran a good race. Zandon, it's time the Bluegrass came back with a significant winner of the Derby here.
Yeah. One other hot horse on the grounds all week has been Cyberknife, another son of Gunrunner, trained by Brad Cox, who won the 2021 Kentucky Derby with Mandaloon. I want to bring that point up. But Cyberknife is a horse that looks to be really turning the light bulb moments on, coming into the Derby. He's won two in a row. But the win in the Arkansas Derby was very impressive. This horse is, looks tremendous, as a lot of Brad's Cox's horses do. Obviously has a top sire line, and the mare is a Flower Alley mare, who can throw some distance with that side of the pedigree as well. What you're thinking about Cyberknife?
He's a grade one winner. He's worked well since getting to Churchill. Back to the Human Connections, Brad Cox. I mean, he's a champion trainer, and these horses are going to come over looking good, fit and ready, and, it's like almost everybody we've talked about, the trip is going to make the difference here, but, he shouldn't surprise you. A horse like this shouldn't surprise anybody if they are the winner on Saturday.
I think a lot has been said that this horse physically has had all the credentials to be an excellent, maybe even a Triple Crown type of of consideration, that the mental aspect has just taken a little bit longer for him to, to utilize all of the God-given traits that he has physically. It looks like that maybe those days are passing, but you never know on Derby Day when you get that great big crowd and a lot of people cheering and yelling, and a lot of people, they're going to see things they've never seen before, and particularly a horse that has had a reputation for maybe being, spooked or seeing a lot of different things either during or before or after the race. It raises a concern. How do they handle the crowd?
No question. It's something that all these horses are going to have to handle it, and some have had a history of a great demeanor, so their trainers have full confidence, but you never know when there's that many people around. And these horses are coming from all different places. I mean, yes, we talked about the Kentucky Oaks having a field of horses coming from everywhere, and really the horses we've talked about today. I mean, the only prep state that you've left out so far today is my home state of Florida. And anybody coming up from Florida for you?
And I'm going to leave the best for last. The Florida Derby has become a preeminent, if not the leading prep for the Kentucky Derby. And in recent years, I mean, so many horses coming out of the Florida Derby have done so well in the Kentucky Derby. And I think the top three in there are getting left out of the discussion in a way that I've never, in recent years, I just haven't seen before. And I think all three of these horses have a legitimate shot. White Abario, winner of the Florida Derby on April the 2nd. This horse is won four out of five. The only loss came at Churchill Downs last November against Smile Happy in the Kentucky Jockey Club, but he was stuck on the rail and really had nowhere to run, absolutely nowhere to run. Edgar Zayas rode him that day and really gave, this horse had no shot. But once he got free from the traffic issues, he had no shot to beat either Smile Happy or Classic Causeway. Since then, he's been ridden by Tyler Gaffney and and man, this horse looks like $1 million with the taxes paid. I he's 10-1 morning line. I think he's going to drift up the odds board. He's been nobody has talked about him. He arrived here late, but this horse, I think, has got a legitimate shot in the Derby.
Yeah, you talk about the Kentucky Derby. I mean, the Florida Derby as a prep, and we've talked about this recently about how the Derby is now the Florida Derby is now a prep for the Kentucky Derby, being 5 weeks out. For decades, it was 7 weeks before the Kentucky Derby. That meant it was a prep for a prep.
Right.
So since that change has been made, I mean, five of the last 9 years, the Derby winners come out of the Florida Derby. And this horse, again, has the human connections that have been a constant thread through our conversation today with Gaffleone and Safi Joseph. I mean, here's a guy, a younger guy, and he's winning races in Florida, Kentucky, New York. And this horse is 4-for-5. Every time he steps on the track, he's pretty much putting out a bullet work. This could be a big surprise. I mean, on the pedigree side, we've talked about him in some of our previews here, being by race day, a son of Tappet. Again, the AP Indy Seattle Slough sire line again. And this one is out of an Into Mischief mare. And we've talked about how Into Mischief is the Mr. Prospector of the day. It's amazing where his horses win everywhere, every distance. And the last question was, can he get a Derby winner? And now he's done it twice already. So the Into Mischief factor is very positive for White Abario. And, you can't leave the horse out. Another one that has to be on the ticket.
I think so. Tyler Gaffleone, the last 34 mounts he's had for Safi Joseph, he's won 21%. And I know that's Tyler is having a great meet this meet. He's winning about 20%, so it's not outside of the question. But these two have teamed up to do very well together. I'm going to real quickly touch on the other two that ran in the Florida Derby. Charge It is another one that didn't race as a two-year-old. But man, oh man, oh man! Look at this pedigree. Look at the look at what he's done on the racetrack. And he ran second to White Abario in the Florida Derby. But look at that comment line: hit the gate. And that I think is one of the most difficult things to overcome. Obviously, this horse likes to be closer to the lead. He was back after hitting the gate, compromised right from the get go in that race. I think ran a super race considering the conditions he had to run under after leaving the gate. Todd Fletcher, the trainer, Louis Saez up by Tappet out of an Indian Charlie Mayer.
That's right. I mean, Tappet out of an Indian Charlie Mayer. So you're talking about a pedigree cross that's produced the amazing horse trained by John Sadler named Flightline. 3-for-3, 100, way over 100 plus buyers each time. This pedigree works. We've got human connections and the trip. The trip is what it is. I mean, the pedigree's there, again, the human connections. It's these horses. Here's a horse that's 20-1, and boy, you can't just leave them out. And that's what makes for an amazing prospect of this Derby.
Yeah, I think it's just amazing that this horse is 20-1. I mean, and maybe he even goes higher. He's a must-use for me. The last one is another must-use for me as well. Simplification, 10 of Not This Time. We've talked about the other Not This Time in the race, being Epicenter. This horse runs third in the Florida Derby, but I really don't understand this horse getting hooked up in a speed duel in that race. He managed to persevere and hold on to be third. But his run in the Fountain of Youth, I thought, was just so tremendous. I just think that this horse has got a big shot. And, again, it's 20-1 morning line. He's been training the lights out since the win or the third-place finish in the Florida Derby. I just think he bounces back. He runs a big one on Saturday.
Yep. It's, again, another horse you're going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, it's got a great chance, again, Not This Time over Candy Ride. You know, all these gun runners, himself being a son of Candy Ride, these are horses that are very prominent in the pedigrees of these top runners today. It's just exciting all the way around.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw one more horse at you, and it starts with a Z. So we went alphabetically and end up with Zozos. Ran a second to Epicenter in the Louisiana Derby. That was his coming up. He's only raced three times again. Another horse who did not race as a two-year-old, but wins his first race, wins his next race by 10 down at Oaklawn Park, and then, you know, runs a super race in the Louisiana Derby. He went right to the lead, and Epicenter kind of laid off of him. But if this horse improves at all, you know, it's not going to be shocking to see him maybe make a serious run and be in the mix, at least at the quarter post.
Yeah, again, here's a horse that is higher in my numbers than the 20-to-1 morning line reflects. You know, we've talked about the Louisiana Derby from last year. I think this is a strong version coming into this year. And, you know, the human connection is Brad Cox. He doesn't get his go-to rider in Florent Giroux. Manny Franco, you know, he won the Derby a couple of years ago on Tis the Law, the famous New York bred. So Manny Franco's got some experience. It's just not like some rider getting a leg up. So it's, again, another horse, double-digit odds. It's going to be very possible to be in the winning payoffs.
All right. We have reached the moment of truth. I think you know that I'm going to go Epicenter as my key, but I'm going to play the Florida Derby horses. I'm going to play a little Zozos. I'm going to play Mo Donegal, and those are going to be the four or five horses that I play with Epicenter. But those are going to be my keys. Is use Epicenter, the three Florida Derby horses, Zozos and Mo Donegal, all under and over with Epicenter. But I need Epicenter to run a big one. I think he will. I think he's poised. I think it's time for the Winchell family to get across this finish line along with Steve Asmussen. What do you say, my good friend?
I am going back to Mo. I'm going to stick with Mo here. I think things fall in place for all the great connections, the pedigree, the human connections, the racehorse himself. And so my numbers show Mo Donegal and Zozos, Zandom, and Epicenter.
Wow.
That's where I'm at.
There you go. Rob Murphy, ladies and gentlemen. The best pedigree guy I've ever known in my life, and his handicapping is not far behind that. But, it, you know, when you're the best in the world at one thing, you can't be, you know, equally as adept at everything. But this man really knows his pedigree. He can handicap with the best of them. Rob, I've appreciated your time the last 2 days, and all the best. Good luck to you. Hope you have a winner.
I know we'll be texting on Saturday.
There you go, brother. Look forward to seeing you soon, my friend. I'll be down at Key West with Rob Murphy here in the next few weeks, and we'll be basking in the sun. Let's have a couple extra dollars in our pocket to buy a round of cold summer drinks.
You bet. We can do that with the best of them.
See you, brother. Take care,
bye,
my
dear
friend. See you.